my business almost died. Hi, my name is Mark Boersma, president of Synergy Solutions, and I do a lot of volunteer work with those individuals that are going through the certification for Life Masteries Institute and starting your own virtual assistant company. And in the coaching and mentoring that I volunteer for, I tell the virtual assistants continually one missed call, not having, you know, not following through, not managing up or out, one small thing can kill your business. And I say it over and over, and sometimes I kind of feel like I'm a parent, and, you know, and I feel that those going through the program maybe aren't listening to me. The thing I think that's impacted me the most is the visualization of, you know, if this is the first business that you've ever started, you've never started another business, you've probably had jobs. A job is kind of like you're a young lion and you're put in the zoo. And, you know, the zoo's a pretty cool place. You know, you get your food every, people come and watch, and you don't have to worry about somebody eating you or you eating, you know, having to get starved to death because you can't hunt. I mean, the zoo is a pretty cool place to be. And if you grow up in the zoo, I'm told that you never could survive in the wild. I mean, there's only one little catch in being in the zoo, and that is you give up your freedom, and that's kind of like a job. I'm told over 50% of those that are employed throughout the country aren't happy with their jobs, but yet they're enslaved. They can't leave. I mean, even those that are happy, I'm not sure if they're really doing what their heart's desires are. I don't know, do they really have the freedom? There is a price for the freedom, and that price is it's like living in the wild. And you make one wrong step, and you can be eaten, you can be killed. And the same thing is true in your business. It's the survival of the fittest. And so I wanted to share that with you for those that are just getting into the program. Don't underestimate it. You know, I don't know that you'll believe me, but you'll hear stories throughout the certification. And so listen very carefully. I'd like to introduce Bobby Lowe. Bobby started his own virtual assistant company a couple months ago, and Bobby had a pretty significant breakthrough today. Listening to Bobby's story and the things that he learned, and Ginger Ann's been doing it now for a number of months and has built up quite a business where she can't keep up with all the business and work opportunities. She may chime in as well. But listen to what he has to say, because it could make the difference between you having freedom your whole life or being enslaved for your whole life. Whether you actually have a company, you can work when you want to work who, where you want to work what you want to do. You can do anything you want, total freedom or not. It's kind of like in basic training where the drill instructor says, you know, you stick your head up at the wrong time, you don't do this, you don't do this, you can die. The stakes are high. Often people who start their first company and it dies, many of them never get a chance to start the second company ever. And so don't underestimate what Bobby has to share. Pay very close attention. Write notes. Bobby is saving you at least 2 months, and 2 months in starting your own business can be the difference between you succeeding and you failing. So, Bobby, what is it that you learned today, and what's kind of built up to that over the last couple months?
I learned the importance of a lot of the I guess I learned the importance of everything that you've said is important, that during the training I thought certain things I could do without, or I could do things slightly differently or find an easier way in my what I thought would be an easier way to do things. Certain things like not managing up and out with everything, I didn't see the need for things like that necessarily.
Cool. So what advice would you give specifically to new people starting their own companies?
To not do what I would do if I was in, if our roles were reversed, and I would say, well, that was him, but I'll probably be the exception and I'll slack off but still succeed.
Okay. Excellent. Any other advice?
You have to be humble.
Nice. Why is that important?
Because you're going to encounter things where it goes against what you think, and if you don't humble yourself, you'll never realize that you were wrong in what your thinking was.
Nice. So I think what that means, if you're struggling to say, I don't understand what Bobby means, is if we're not humble, we do what we think we ought to do rather than what we're directed to do. And if we do what we think we're going to do, we never have the opportunity to experience what the person directed us to do. So we don't know if we're wrong because we just continue to do the things that we thought we should do. Good. What else?
I guess the responsibility.
Oh, nice.
Of owning a business is, you know, we were on a call earlier and you were comparing a job to working on your job to working in your job. And, you know, at first it's going to seem like it's harder because you have to create a lot. Whereas if you were working for someone else, a lot of things would be set in stone. You wouldn't have to come up with marketing strategies. You wouldn't have to monitor results and improve them, come up with, you know, alternative ways to improve them even, and the amount of time that you spend doing things that aren't even billable. And at first it can seem overwhelming, and you might feel like I'm working three times as much as I ever have in my life, and I'm barely making just as much, if even. But you have to look at the long term. I still have to look at the long term, because you're building the foundations to have freedom in the long run.
Cool. The responsibility, the reason that people, it's interesting, when the slaves were freed, I forget, I think it's 50 or 70% of the slaves didn't leave the plantations. And so people actually, a lot of people like to be enslaved, believe it or not, because being enslaved, you can blame somebody else. You're kind of told what to do. You don't have to take risk. You just, hey, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and this is what my lot in life is. And so the responsibility is the reason that many people can't own their own company, can't succeed in their own company, is they don't have the discipline when they're sick. You know, I mean, I've owned my own companies for now over 25 years, and last week I was really sick. I mean, really sick, and I still worked. I think that was a slower day. I think I got up at 4 a.m. in the morning, pumped in a lot of work, took a couple-hour nap to try to recover, came back, worked 3-4 more hours. And that's after 25 years in business. A mentor of mine, Phil Siebert, he says, you know, it's so funny people say, you know, if you own your own company, you don't have to work. He said, I've never, ever met one entrepreneur that didn't work tons of hours. The thing is, you're doing what you'd love to do, and so you really don't, you know, mind it. Or you're building something for yourself that when it works, even if you don't love what you're doing, it's still going to give you freedom, you know, in the long term. And so you have to have far more discipline. Nobody's going to tell you, you have to get up, you have to work extra, you got to come in early, you got to stay late, you got to work a holiday, you got to work a weekend. They're not going to tell you that. You've got to take, you know, you've got to take the responsibility. And then there's the temptation with family that'll say, well, you don't have a job. You can take off. You can help me here and here and here, and you can do this and this and this. And, well, why don't you do this and this? And so not only do you have to be disciplined, but the people around you have to be disciplined, because if you and the people around you are not disciplined, you're going to end up having to get a job where somebody else will tell you that you have to work at this time. You can't take off here. You can't do that. If you don't respect the freedoms, you will lose the freedoms. Ginger Ann, you've been doing this a while longer than Bobby, a year or a little bit longer than that. What input would you give to new people that are starting, and why is it so important to be very attentive to the things being taught throughout the entire program, and why those things are so important?
Well, Mark, I guess one of the biggest things is that people need to pay attention to the mentors that they have and also just stick with it. It's very difficult to go through and difficult to learn things, but I found in my business that my business grew really, really, really quickly.
Okay. You still there? Did we lose you? We might have lost her. She might call back. And so these are things, you know, these are things that are really critical as you're going through. You're going to hear things and you're just going to miss them until it costs you a sale, or it costs you a client, or it costs you an opportunity, or you mess something up and you don't do it, and it costs you 2, 3, 4 hours that you didn't. Go ahead, and you don't get paid for. So, okay, Ginge, I think you're back.
Yeah, sorry about that. My phone dropped off. Anyways, as I was saying, I was on vacation for a couple weeks, and it was incredible, you know, having to be able to try to keep up with everything and keep up with family. But I found it really a growing experience for myself the past year or so since I started my business. And one of the best things to do is just stick with it and keep an open mind. And also, as Bobby said, keep humble, because as soon as I start thinking that I've got everything under control, something else catches me off guard and I have to keep learning. So,
nice. Bobby, any other closing thoughts, lessons learned?
Yeah, I would also say I made the mistake of trying to only learn as much as I needed to learn to function in this job, when really the things that you're learning when you go through this, and if you have the blessing of it, which you should, having someone coaching you through it, being a part of a mastermind group, I mean, the things that you learn with this are things that apply to everything. I mean, they apply to your relationships. They'll apply to anything that you want to do business-related, whether it's start your own business in pretty much any area, and even personal growth. You'll get what you take out of it, and you'll notice the people that put the most into it are the people that enjoy it the most, because they're also getting the most out of it.
Nice. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you know, welcome aboard, welcome on, you know, to the program, to the system. Tom Kuhn's most recent past president of Century 21 oversaw over 140,000 sales agents in over 70 different countries. One of his favorite, or maybe his favorite saying, is claim all unclaimed territory. Do a lot more than expected. Never do the minimum. Always do more than expected. Always look for opportunities to grow and expand. Always taking on new things. Tom also has another thing he loves saying is trust the integrity of the system. There are decades of life that are invested into these systems. There's not a word, there's not a place, there's not a thought that's not sifted through to determine when should you be exposed to certain things. Trust the integrity of the system, and then follow that. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Bobby, thanks so much for sharing. And those that are listening today, you know, going through this, we'd love to have a success story for you and have you go and share and say, this is what I wish I would have known, you know, 2 months ago too. And God bless and have a great day. All right. Lindsay, what would you like to accomplish today?
I mean, besides the stuff that I'm kind of working on right now, I don't really have anything specific for today. Everything that you guys were just talking about is really helpful to think about and, you know, apply to, like, anything that's going on. So that was helpful to just kind of listen to what was just going on with you guys, too. So
do you have greater clarity on what you'd like to do after you graduate?
No, I don't have a specific, like right now. I mean, that's something that I always think about, and it's always kind of in the back of my head, but I don't have a specific thing yet that I've, like, decided on. Like, this is definitely what I want to do.
Do you know if you're going to be in dance?
I'm going to graduate with that degree. I think it's something, whether it's my main career or not, I haven't decided. I just haven't gotten there yet, I guess. I haven't really made up my mind as far as that goes.
Okay. Because I thought, you know, with Jonathan's ability to do, you know, the script writing and stuff and screenwriting, and I thought, you know, your ability in the dance, like this, you know, this concept of being in the zoo and the safety and security, I mean, you get so many things by being in the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you have to do is give up freedom.
Yeah.
So I thought that would be really cool to have a video that, you know, was created by those in their 20s, for those in their 20s, to help them to see, you know, that to help them to be revealed to the truth that they have, there has never been a time in human history, there's never been a time in human history, in all of human history, where you have more choices of what you can do.
Yeah.
But I don't think this generation has been trained properly to understand how to go through those choices and choose those choices and then be equipped to be able to handle that freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. Because,
so,
I mean, it's like I've had plenty of friends that, you know, they go to school and get a degree and so that they have this job that's, you know, maybe not what they, something that they're passionate about, but, you know, it supplies them the money they need and that kind of thing. And it's like a toss-up whether, you know, deciding whether to go down that road or to, you know, try something different and that hasn't been done. And so that's something I think that me and Jonathan and even some of our friends have definitely struggled with, is because it's like, you know, you could just choose this degree and get this job and, you know, be pushed a certain way. And that's what a lot of kids are told to just do because, you know, it just makes money and so that's what they can do. But like you said, we have choices now, and so it's hard to know what to really do.
Well, it's interesting because I remember when I was at Northern Illinois University getting my degree, and I was working full-time, started my own companies. I was married. My wife was getting her elementary education degree. We were totally funding our own college. Our parents weren't paying for any of it. And I remember a petition of a student. You know, a student was doing a petition to get more government aid. And he's like, you know, can you sign this? I'm like, what is it? He's like, it's for more government aid. And I'm like, no. He's like, what do you mean no? I said, I don't think it's the responsibility of the government to educate me. He's like you're the first student that said that. I said, well, I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, if I pay for my own education, I'm going to value it more, gain more from it. I had to work really hard to pay for my own education. And what's interesting, I remember before I even went into college, I was in high school, and I heard all these people that, you know, that have these degrees and they don't use them. And I'm like, that's insane. Why would you spend all that time and that money not to use it? And then I got three bachelor's degrees, one in finance, one in management, one in marketing. And I said, I like aspects of all three of them. I want to get a job, or I want to create a job, or I want my own company, or all of those, where I can apply all three of those. And I apply all three of those degrees every single day since I've graduated. You know,
yeah.
If I could see like a YouTube video, you know, with, you know, showing the, you know, do you want to be enslaved? Do you want to be in the zoo, or do you want to have the freedom? And then teach people how to have the freedom and respect the freedom, because freedom is not free.
Yeah.
You know, there's a price to be paid. And I could see if that went viral, I think that there would be a lot of parents that would be giving that to their kids. And I think if it was created by those in their 20s, it's not my generation saying it. It's my, our, you know, it's your own generation saying it to other generation, to other people, other peers, and saying, listen, for such a smart generation that we are, for all that we have been given, are we really selling ourselves out short? You know, are we really? I mean, when they did the college class and they asked, what do you, a whole class of college, it was on, I don't know, some TV news broadcast, and this professor said to all their students, what do you expect the government? And we expect the government to pay for our education, to give us a job, to go ahead and pay for our house. And it's like, do you really think that's going to happen? I mean, if a government does all of that, they're going to tell you what to do, when to do, how to do it. You will not. You will give up freedom, and you won't have the things that you desire. So, good
yeah.
stuff. Jonathan, what would you like to accomplish today?
Like I said, I'd like to start networking my website, at least getting my name out there. The search engine will get it to the masses, but I want to try to find potentially people my age or other people who I can kind of connect with, bounce stuff off of, you know, kind of increase my presence and kind of gain a identity.
Okay. So, one thought that I have is that, you know, email is such a great way to connect with a lot of people, but I'm guessing you don't have emails of, you know, of the types of targets you're looking for. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I'm not doing any kind of, like, constant contact. I don't have any kind of, like, database or anything.
So in the 530 grid, box one in the 530 grid is to identify your targets. It's to build a database of targets. And so you don't have those targets. And so, you know, your dad owns his own company. I own my own company. Ginger Ann's got a really, really big database. Huge. And so, but those databases are going to be probably from people from 30 to 60, business owners and stuff like that. But people in their 50s are going to have, you know, kids in their 20s often.
Mm-hmm.
And so how could we take your dad's database, how could we take our database, how could we take Ginger Ann's database, and how could we have them? I mean, I have three children in their 20s, a daughter who's 18, another one's 16. So I've got probably five kids that I could go ahead and introduce to your world.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would I go ahead and have, as a dad, why would I go ahead and as a dad, you know, get something in my email and say, oh, I want to pass this along to, you know, my kids?
Well, the tagline of the website is, it's the website's called The Minute Movie Review, and the idea is that if you take 2 or 3 minutes of your time, it can save you 2 or 3 hours at the movie theater. That's the catch line. Spend 2 minutes here to save 2 hours there. And so the idea is that as a parent, you could look at it and go, you know, If you're potentially paying for your kids to go to the movies, and with the rising cost of tickets, it could potentially persuade your kid to either use the money wisely or avoid wasting it on a movie that they might not actually like.
Gotcha. Okay, now see, do you think most parents think their kids watch too many movies?
Too much media, yeah, as far as video games, music, movies, television, stuff like that. I feel parents, and I think it's a fact, I think kids do watch too much, but
okay. There
may be a disconnect between how much they actually watch and what the parents think they're watching.
Okay. So to appeal to the parents, it might be, you know, are your kids watching, are your teenage and adult children, you know, watching too much TV or media? That would, I think, draw me in, and I'd be like, huh, yeah, I'm interested in seeing what that is. And then what I'm interested in is I'm interested in valuable lifelong lessons. Like, I think that media, gaming, is absolutely corrupting my children. I think it's dehumanizing violence. I think it's a waste of time. I mean, I do a lot of movies with my kids. I mean, a ton of movies. So I'm familiar with mostly what's in the movie house, and I do a lot of movies with the kids, but I'm like, man, this stuff is just corrupting them. So I'm interested in anything in media, because that's what they like, anything in media that is, like, wholesome, that's valuable, that has substance and meaning, where it's not just, I don't mind them having fun, but I want it to make a difference in their lives.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. It needs to have an end game. It's not just a time killer.
Right. And so it almost like parent, you know, message to the parents, you know, here's a great video clip or here's a great movie that you could go see with your kids. It was funny because I was doing a coaching session with your dad, and I was saying something about my 11-year-old on New Year's. And we went out to a movie, and he told my wife, he said, yeah, I want to go out with a movie with Dad, but I don't want to, you know, I want to just have fun. I don't want to just, you know, learn a lesson.
Yeah.
I want it to be all about learning a lesson.
Yeah, and I feel that's the intent of video games and stuff. It's to kind of get away from that. It's a break. Whether or not it's violent or not, video games and movies and TV in general, I think, provide that in excess, it can start to form some kind of disconnect. But I think that's why that stuff was created. It's a small break when used correctly.
Yeah, and I think it almost like becomes a drug.
Yeah, you know? And it's easily abused.
Yeah, and so I think if you could create something that would appeal to parents, that they would pass along to their kids, that would create some type of a bond. Like, here would be a really cool, movie that, you know, a dad daughter could do, or a dad, you know, father son could do, or a mom, you know. My wife doesn't do a lot of that, some of that, but I do tend to do more of it. But here's something that would be cool for the parent, and here's something that would be cool for the child. I think that would be, and then if they could pass it along to their kids, my kids, I have, I think, a fair enough influence with them where if I said, hey, go check this out, I think this would be beneficial for you, they would do it. I know there's a lot out there that's like, well, if your parents recommend it, you know, you're going to automatically be turned off by it. I don't know that that's the case so much.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that idea of breaking it down into groups, because I could almost, because I want to walk that line between appealing to an older crowd while at the same time a parent could use it and show it to their kid and kind of, you know, go, hey, read this. This is something you sound like you're interested in. So that's part of the battle. I don't think it's as hard as I think, but I have to find that line where I can appeal to an adult, but I can also appeal to a younger kid too.
Right.
So that's part of the difficulty in how I'm writing is I want to include whatever that sarcastic kind of witty writing that I kind of speak like, but
right.
At the same time, if I'm trying to appeal to an adult to show that to their child, I have to almost tone it back a little bit so it's friendly for them while at the same time enjoyable for somebody older.
Right. I think, and you'd almost have, like, for the parent, like, you could have a review, not all the movies, but some of the ones you'd recommend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like The Avengers was great. I love that with my kids. Battleship, love that one. So there's all the X-Men movie, love those. And so you could get your dad maybe to write something from a parent perspective or seek other adults. I think parents accept the fact that, you know, that they do think in a different way. So you could have a review for the parent, and if the parent liked it, they'd pass it on to the kids. The kids probably would not review, you know, like I don't even know if you did a review for, you know, for teens or adults. I don't think I'd even review it, those in their 20s. I'd just review mine. I'd say, yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to pass along to the kids. And then the kids would go ahead and read, you know, the review for them. And they'd almost sound like they're two totally different movies, but they're not. They're just coming from two totally different perspectives.
Yeah, no, I really like that, how to break it down, because I'm trying to add variation to it right now. It's like, you know, I have on the little bar on the side, it's like home, movie reviews, comment, contact, stuff like that. And so I'm trying to find ways to make it new, to make it seem up to date. And I think that's an interesting angle, because a lot of the critics come at it from their point of view. This is what it is, read it, tell me what you think. But if I could almost appeal to both crowds, because the reviews are like about a page and a half. They only take me about, at the most, an hour, depending on the length of the movie. So I could almost write a review and have a section, you know, for kids, for teens, for adults, and put the movies and the reviews according to age in those different categories.
Right, and I, you know, for me, I would feel very comfortable getting that out to my business database. Because,
yeah, and nothing I do is offensive. This website isn't to knock any movies. It's simply me kind of, you know, this is what I thought. I'm trying to avoid you making a mistake, or I'm trying to encourage you to see this really good movie. You know, there's no cursing or anything like that. It's all pretty PG. I wouldn't feel, I don't think it would be wrong if I decided to go that route to ask my father, go, do you think you in any way could pass this along without coming off as tacky almost?
Right. With me, what I would do is I would position it. I would teach all of our clients. I'd say, hey, the way I'm using this is to humanize myself and to touch different aspects of my client's life. I think that the more my clients get to know me, not just the business side, but the husband side, you know, the children's side, and if I can impact my clients, if I can impact my clients' relationships with their children, that brings tremendous value to the business relationship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, today with the economy and everything, people are always looking to review sites are huge right now with sites like Yelp and all those other kind of review, where everybody can put their opinion. Stuff like that's popular. And people with their children, people are looking out for their kids a lot more as far as media and how to control that. So in that aspect, I feel like it could be pretty beneficial.
Right. Do you have a rating system where people can rate it or whatever?
No, I'm in the process of that. I'm talking with my friend right now because we go back and forth. We're having debates about movies all the time, and he introduced the idea a way back. And since I'm just starting to get back into the website, I tried installing Google Analytics. I'm having trouble in putting the code in the background to get an idea who's visiting, but all I have right now is a counter that counts clicks that come to the website.
Okay.
That's as far as I've gotten. I have to do more research into the Google Analytics and how to implant that in the background.
Okay. And if you want to call here during business hours, morning probably ideal. My son Jonathan and then Mike Katura here, they have put Google Analytics in everything we do, blogs and the whole thing. And so they could probably give you an answer on that fairly quickly on how to get that done.
Excellent, yeah. Because I was having trouble because I want to start getting a better idea of the demographic. Because I don't know if I told you, but I was off the website for maybe a good 2 months, which I shouldn't have been doing, but it happened. So I went back, and I found that I was receiving a steady flow of people coming to the website. So it kind of confused me as to there was no new content or anything. There was nothing up there. I wasn't, like, enticing people to come visit during that time. So I was interested to see who's actually visiting the website, and that drove me to Google.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's starting to come together or something. I just have one more question for you. That quote, that phrase, that analogy about the zoo you were talking about with Lindsay, is that from somebody? Is that a quote you got, or is that something you came up with?
It's something that I just kind of saw, came up with. Lion King, you know, when my kids were younger, Lion King is an amazing movie to watch. There's so many truths. It's like the hyenas. You know, they consume everything. They don't produce. And so in that natural order. And so in training and mentoring like Bobby, you know, I've used the Lion King quite a bit. And I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago that I recognized about the zoo. And so, yeah, that was something just kind of realized. I'm not sure where it came from, but, yeah.
Well, it just gave me a little bit of it put it into a different perspective for me, because that's kind of the idea of what my movie's about. You were talking about with Lindsay how, you know, opportunities now are no more or less than they were at any other time. But people now, I feel like kids, we've talked about this before, where kids now, all they know is the zoo, and they don't know that there is anything else. I feel like the majority feel like the zoo is all there is. They don't know even what the wild is. And that's kind of what the movie's about, is exploring other options, realizing that you have more than one path. And that zoo analogy, I was wondering if I could incorporate that in with your permission.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
All right, yeah, because it was definitely interesting. I'm sitting there going, I was saying, like, whispering to her, I'm like, oh, that's what my movie's about. I'm like, that's exactly what it's about.
Cool.
So it was a cool new perspective.
Cool, excellent. Yeah, I think there's some, I mean, there's business people, based on the economy, business people are being more forced into helping their employees think like business owners, you know, rather than employees. And so that whole movie, that whole story is really something that needs to be shared with every employee in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, cool. Anybody else have any other questions?
Yeah, Jonathan, where do you get music for, like, whatever films that you make?
I've actually, this is the first film I'm starting to write. I'm fairly new to the process. I'm in the middle of reading a few books about it, but I have a script writing software, and I've read a few scripts over to kind of get an idea. So as far as score and music and stuff, I haven't really got into.
I myself have done some stuff, and then my friend Alex also has a lot of experience with composition. We have different angles on it depending on what the film would be. But let me
Let me close it out. If you guys need to connect, we can create that connection, you know, for you guys.
I'll need to find a computer real quick.
If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session. Or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. God bless and have a great day. Bye-bye. All right, here.